again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I wish you a very great day today. If you remember, our last two programs were about the length and breadth of the great love that Jesus has towards us that is taken from Ephesians 3 and verse 18 in particular. I want today to develop your thinking, if I may, into looking at the height and depth of this love. Now, if you think backwards, very beautifully, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. His father was God the Father, and we know that his mother was Mary. Jesus was born. Angels filled the skies, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men." And many times, people have taken those words and twisted them and made them say things they did not mean. So today I would like to tell you or remind you about the depth of the love of Jesus. Let me come back to that, but first let's try to do some imagining. Would you imagine with me total purity? I don't know how to do that, and I don't know what words I could possibly employ to describe total purity, except to use the name Jesus Christ the Lord. But imagine total purity. God is totally pure. Now imagine if God is totally pure, the environment in which God lives is a totally pure environment. And it is totally, apparently at least, spiritual. That is, we have spirit bodies. When we push all that together, we suddenly find that Jesus thought it not robbery to leave his eternal throne and come to earth to seek and to save sinners like you and I. Jesus came into this world with the one purpose of bringing salvation to the world, because Jesus is God incarnate, because God is love. God wanted to express love to the most awful creatures that he had created, people that had gone away from him, who ignored him and had nothing to do with him, and he wanted to love those people. Now, this is a colossal jump in the thinking of today's man or woman, because we look at love and it's a self-satisfying thing. But this is not so with God. We have tried to imitate God in our love, giving people great gifts at Christmas and so on. And we've tried to express love to one another in being faithful to each other, even unto death, and so on. But Jesus came into this world simply because God had a different idea, if I dare use that word, of how we should be living. When we're born again, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. In order to become this new creature in Christ Jesus, our sins must be forgiven. Jesus dealt with the sin factor of our lives and gives to us quite freely the gift of life, everlasting life. But there are those people who turn their back on the gift. We know through John and chapter 3 that the gift of God is eternal life. Yet man has turned his back on God to the point where, very often, he throws away the gift of eternal life, saying all sorts of things such as, "I'm an agnostic, I'm an atheist, I'm this, I'm that, I've got a different point of view, I believe God is the God of all people," and so on and on. And I absolutely agree that God is the God of all people. But there is only one way to come to God. And Jesus said, "I am that way, the truth, and that life. No man can come to the Father except through me." He said to Nicodemus, so don't be surprised and don't be afraid that the way to come to me is by believing in me and being born again. Now, there is a place that Jesus had to reveal himself to all mankind. I refer back to the 28th chapter of Matthew, where we read the Lord Jesus comes into view And he says to his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He was resurrected from the dead. And he said, all power, all the dynamic, all the dynamite, all the explosive, all the legal right, all of that I have. In order for the Lord Jesus to have all this to give to us, he said, I have this wonderful power, and I'm sending you in that wonderful power to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because God so loved the world. Jesus had to show that he had all power. Now, he showed he had all power when standing in front of Pilate. He said, ye have no power of your own except it be given thee from heaven. Because Pilate said, why don't you talk to me about the condition you're in and the situation you're confronted with? Why don't you fess up, in other words? Why don't you say something? Jesus had decided not to speak. And I believe this was simply to fulfill the gospel or to fulfill what was prophesied by Isaiah, as a sheep that is brought to the slaughter, so he openeth not his mouth. And Jesus confronted Pilate when Pilate said, don't you realize I can release you or I can crucify you? It's on my word. And Jesus said, no, it isn't. For this cause came I into this world. To this end was I born. Now, Jesus came from heaven or eternity, whichever way you want to put that, and he came into this world to do one thing, to reveal to man that man no longer needed to die in sin, separated from God. Man, by believing in the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, could be saved. So I have to ask you, are you saved? Oops, don't turn me off. Stay, please, because I've got an explanation that I want you to hear. Please listen. It's important. You see, God so loves you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe on him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Another good word we would use today is criticize the world. That through him we might have life. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, Jesus revealed that he wasn't frightened of Pilate. He revealed that God had a different way or different perspective of how to deal with mankind. It was not jamming him full of rules and regulations, because he'd already proven through the children of Israel in the previous several thousand years that they couldn't keep the words, they couldn't keep the rules, they couldn't do, in the righteous sense of the word, the things that God commanded them to do. So Jesus became the spotless Lamb of God, the sacrifice that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, this is alarmingly foolish to those that do not believe, and it's quite incredible to those who are trying to wrap their mind around it. Why would anybody love me that much? Yet God so loved you and I, God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, Jesus demonstrated his power and allowed Pilate to pass sentence upon him, allowed the soldiers to crucify him. He did not allow them to kill him. Please always remember that. Because as is recorded in the scriptures, that Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, nobody takes this life from me. I give it up of my own. And I give it up, listen to this, so that I may take it up again. Now Jesus was buried. And we have Easter, and we remember the crucifixion. We have Easter, and we remember the ascension, that is, going up into heaven. We remember that Jesus came back from the dead and then went into heaven. Now, that's a different idea of things, isn't it? It's not our idea. We surely have nothing here. We can't comprehend what is the height, nor the depth of this great love of Jesus, but Jesus had to explain the depth. He left his Father's throne and heaven and purity to come into a world that was full of sin. He left it to come here. And when he got here, he found sin abundant. He found everything just as he knew it was, that man was lost and without help and without any method to come to God, without any ability to put God first in their lives. And so God, expressing his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Jesus showed a new power, a brand new power. But when Jesus comes back, and just before his ascension, his going up into heaven, when he said to his disciples, "All power is given unto me," most preachers today avoid what I'm going to jump into now. And that is, they don't talk too much about hell. But I want to explain something to you, because Jesus explained it to the people that were around him. You have a Bible perhaps there. So turn with me to Luke and chapter 16, if you will, and read from verse 19 how it is that there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Notice that's plural. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Now here is Jesus standing saying, "All power is given unto me." And I want you to think about this story for a moment or two, because it's passionate. It's as if Jesus just lifted the corner of a great curtain and said, "I want you to see into eternity. I want you to see what it is to be a person without help, without hope, and without God in their lives. I want you to be able to understand what is the depth of this great love wherewith he hath loved us." And so Jesus lifts this corner of the curtain and he says, look at this story. There is a great gulf fixed between the person that is loving God and the person that is not. There is a great gulf fixed between the person who is believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. There is a great gulf fixed between him and the person who does not receive Christ as Savior. The important thing here is to be put together. What happened to Jesus after his death and burial and before his resurrection? I believe I can give you an answer. Because if we turn into the first epistle of Peter, and in the third chapter, we read that the Lord Jesus did some amazing things. Peter records it. Let's go from verse 17. It is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, Jesus, quickened by the Spirit, was able to do something. Though his body was laid in a tomb, he was released to do something that was remarkable. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, within few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Verse 19, collect it into your mind quickly. By which he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now I have this vivid imagination that tells me that when the psalmist says the gates of hell could not prevail against Jesus, I have this vision that when Jesus was in this place, because it was a spiritual place, it wasn't the usual death. Jesus was released from this body and was living. And his life was now totally spiritual, yet it had some connection to the physical. It's quite an enigma to unravel and understand. But I say to you very lovingly that by which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. In verse 18 tells us, Jesus was quickened by the Spirit. And so by that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he preached to the spirits in prison, the people in hell. And when he went down, I see the imps of hell and all the fallen angels of hell leaning on the doors of hell, not wanting them to be opened. They were not going to let purity, the Son of God, everlasting life, walk into eternal damnation. They were not prepared to allow that to happen. It surely must have caused a tremendous ripple through all the inhabitants that were there. But Jesus had such power that he walked through the door. In a little while after he had risen from the dead in the physical sense, Jesus would walk into a room and the door wasn't opened and the windows were bolted shut. Yet he appeared unto them, and Jesus appeared in hell. He went there and he preached to the spirits. What was the context of his preaching? I believe we have some inclination from this story that he told, that there was no longer any necessity for a person to be in that place because he, the Son of God, had conquered the power of hell. Now everybody that listened to him in hell, and they all heard, I'm convinced of that, they all heard what he had to say. But when he prepared on the third day to come back to earth, I believe the imps of hell were trying to keep the doors shut again, so that this time not his entry was delayed, but his exit was delayed. But Jesus could not be kept. Hell could not keep her prey. Death could not hold him. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And he walks with me and he talks with me along life's very narrow way. So I share this with you because I believe there's much more in it than I am giving you here because of the time factor. But I want you to study this for yourself. I want you to think of this. For instance, I heard somebody say a few days ago, how'd your day go? And the person that was questioned, he said, oh, I had a hell of a day. Tell me if this is how it's explained. If you have such a terrifying day, is it a day where you call out and say that somebody may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame? Is that what is meant? Of course not. But perhaps something else, perhaps the realization that in this life you've been the receiver of many good things, and some have seemed to have had evil things, and now the person that had the evil things in this life on earth is comforted. But thou art, says the scripture here, verse 25 of Luke 16, thou art tormented. Does that sound like the day you're describing? Are you in total torment when you say your day was hellish? Let me ask you another question. Do you understand in verse 26 of this 16th chapter of Luke's gospel, where it is said very bluntly, Jesus speaking and telling the story, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they, or so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, there's no trafficking across this gulf. There is no way to get from one side to the other once death has taken our body. And once our body is committed to eternal life or death, notice the word eternal, because death is eternal. It goes on and on and on for eternity. Life is eternal. It goes on and on and on for eternity. If you can imagine that just for a moment or two, the person that came from the beauty of holiness, the person that came from the purity of heaven, the person that came down into earth and found sin rampant, the person that came and saw the plight of man and saw that man could not save himself, no matter how he politicized his life, no matter what wars he fought, no matter how well he thought of himself or how kind he became or how unkind he practiced his life. It didn't matter what this man was like. Man was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and there was no life in him. God now is expressing his love toward us. And Jesus came, and Jesus became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus sacrificed himself willingly so that you and I could have life with God for eternity. You may say, I have a free will and I don't believe all that stuff. Well, I'm glad you think whatever you think, but my dear friend, the Bible is truthful and it doesn't tell you you have a free will. It tells you repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you that Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. It says in the word of God, Jesus speaking, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. But Satan doesn't say this, but Satan will desert you to your foes. Jesus will never desert you to your foe. He will overshadow you with the love that you may plumb the depths, you may see how deep Jesus loved you. And he reveals to us, I believe, that hell could not contain him. Hell could not hold him, and he is free. All power is given unto me, said Jesus. That means the entire universe is at his disposal, not Satan's. Satan is limited to his own hell, which he has not gone to yet. We have yet to hear that Satan is cast into the abyss. But Jesus says, I give you life. And the love of Jesus goes all the way down into the depth of wherever hell is and explains to spirits that are imprisoned that their loved ones have no need to follow them. Now, what's your day like? At the end of the day, will you say it was a hell of a day? That is, you were tormented and the flames were licking around your body, your mind, your heart, your soul was inflamed in the most awful manner. It was worse because you were understanding. Between us and God is a great gulf fixed, and there is no comfort. Oh dear, but Jesus says, come to me, I will rest you. There's some thoughts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, will you bless this word, imperfect though it is, from this mouth? Will you plant it in our hearts? And will you give us a good understanding of the love so deep to reach from heaven, the uttermost, to hell, the guttermost? We can be saved. We come to you now. Bless everybody hearing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.